You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring you, me, us, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And we are indeed so blessed, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with our prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. And the supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, under the patronage of our Blessed Mother, hence Radio Maria, hence the School of Mary. And our catechism teaches us, among other things, Article 507, at once Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church. End quote. How can we not emulate her? Speaking of emulation, hello, Mother Gabriel, Maria, and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Hi, Mother. How hello. Are you today?
Okay, and you and everybody and else.
Feels so good. I mean, everyone should be joyful to have awakened today. I know. We never have a bad day anymore, Mother, but I know some days are still better than others because we're human and we're creatures of habit, and sometimes we still get distressed over the same things. But God is taking care of all the worries. Adam and Eve had no worries. They had total joy, total happiness, total euphoria with and through the love of God. And that's really, in a very simplistic term, really what our Lord is doing by presenting this gift. See, he held this gift. He didn't give it away. He held it for safekeeping. Very similar, Mother, to the volumes. Remember when it looked like the Vatican confiscated the volumes and they were nowhere to be found, you know, almost as if they stole them. No, we look back now in hindsight and they were actually safeguarding them through all those tumultuous times that the Vatican, the world, and the Church was going to go through until the time was right. And who says when the time is right? It's our Lord. He tells Louisa, the time is now. I guess that means the time is right, Mother.
Yeah, I think he even mentioned that to Louisa in the writings when Rome took the volumes away from her and put them in archives. I think he told her something about he was protecting them when she complained about it. And God does things that you write straight with crooked lines. We never know the outcome, why things have to happen the way they do, but God knows. And he brings a greater good out of everything that happens to us. And we have to rejoice in our crosses, rejoice in our sufferings and all these things that happen, because God is trying to transform us and help us to become saints. And that's how it happens, you know, to our resignation in the present moment, whatever's happening.
So, Mother, would you say then in that capacity, because I agree with you 100%, would you say then our lesson would be to when something occurs that perhaps is a lot of the ordinary or seems strange or even seems bad, should we be slow to react and cautious to respond? Because we again, God's permissible will is a mystery. And God says always he'll only allow what he can make and create a greater good out of. So maybe that's our lesson, not to be so reactive.
Yeah. Right. To not to react so quickly. Sometimes we need to do things quickly because of the circumstance, whatever right. It may be, you know. If your house is on fire, run out of the house real quick.
Yeah, don't ponder that.
as far as our reactions verbally, sometimes we need to think before we speak. We save ourselves a lot of trouble if we did that, you know. But anyway, I was just reading here in volume 34, June 6, 1937. Our Lord said, "My daughter, your fears displease me. You must know that so much is my interest, the love that burns me, because I want that the soul lives in my will, that I take the commitment of everything I supply for her in everything. However, I do this when there has been a firm and constant decision of wanting to live in it, and she does not lack on her part. She does however much she can. Listen to a secret of mine, my daughter, and where my love makes me reach. Listen to what I do when for strict necessity of the human life, this life that is also mine, because of sufferings that I myself dispose, so the creature remains as stupefied and lost. Therefore, she does not know how to follow the acts of the life that reigns in her. I, because I want that this life does not remain interrupted, because it be in life, not virtue that can do acts at intervals and circumstances, but life, there is all the necessity of the continuous act. I am who am on watch and jealous. I maintain the sentinel which over her, and I see that she interrupts her course. I do what she should do, such that my operating in my fiat shakes her, and she returns into herself, and she follows her course in my volition." So even when we lack, well, he wants continuous acts. He wants us to be in his will always. He wants us to be inviting him all day long to do everything in and through us. But, you know, when we get out of his will a little bit, he does it for us. He continues, so there's no interruption. If we've made that, if we have a firm commitment to live in his will, and he knows that, he sees our hearts, he knows what we want, and he gives us the desire of our heart, he fills in the gaps. It goes on to say, "And I, without even saying anything to her about her stop, I retire from where she left off and where my act followed, in a way that the life of my fiat remains never interrupted in her, because I have supplied for everything. More so because in her will she wanted to, but weakness interrupted her." Our Lord knows how weak we are, how little we are, how incapable we are. So he does it all for us if we just have that desire to want him to do it. He goes on to say, "This is why my love is so much that I want that she lives in my will, that at whatever cost, even if continuous miracles would be needed, I will do them. But have you noticed my tenderness, my strong love? That having failed to keep her course, I do not reproach her. I do not say anything to her. And if I see that she notices that she has failed, I make her courageous. I commiserate her in order to not place mistrust in her. And all goodness I say to her, do not fear. I have supplied for you, and you will be more attentive. Is it not true? And she, at seeing my goodness, loves me even more. I know that I must give of mine in order to have that the creature lives in my will, and therefore I will act like a king who greatly loves that his kingdom be populated." So God wants this for us so much. He makes up for us when we fall out of it. When we fall out of his will, of course, through sin, we have to be sorry, but God fills in the gaps. He goes on to say, "I will make known to the entire world that I want the people of my divine volition, and provided they give me their name and will let me know that they want to come into my kingdom, I will give them all the goods. Unhappiness will have no place in him. Each one will possess its kingdom. He will be king of himself, and they will live together with their king, with creator. I will display so much in giving that everyone will remain enraptured by it. My daughter, oh, how I long for this living in the creature in my will, and you pray and long for it together with me, and it will be so sweet for you to place your life for a kingdom so holy." So what God has in store for us, what a great gift. What a great gift he's given us. How good God is to us, how much he loves us. He does everything for us. He's such a loving, kind, merciful Father. And no matter what you do, he loves you the same. You couldn't commit any sin that he would not forgive. And so don't think that your sins are too great that you can't enter into this beautiful gift of living in his divine will. He's calling you. He's longing for you to come. He wipes all the sins away if you're sorry. He's so merciful. His mercy is much greater than in any all the sins that you could ever commit. So, you know, take him by the hand. Take Our Lady by the hand. She wants to lead you into living in this great gift too. So ask her to teach you. She wants it more than you want it for yourself. And our Lord wants it for you more than you want it. He loves you so much. So,
yeah. Actually, what Mother's saying is, in short, is if Peter can be here, anybody can do it. If his sins can be forgiven. But Mother, she mentions, Our Lady mentions, and Our Lord mentions again and frequently about the secret. She, in fact, it was point blank. She said, I want to divulge a secret to you. And, you know, when we think about secrets, of course, we've mentioned this often. We think of perhaps nefarious things, you know, something being withheld that shouldn't be withheld. The language of heaven may not be exactly the way the vernacular is. Just like in different languages, there may not be an exact translation. But in the language of heaven, which Jesus and Mary speak, which Sir Louisa spoke, Adam and Eve spoke, and we will speak soon if we're not speaking there already, she explains to us what this means. It's in meditation number one in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. I know we've mentioned it again. We've often mentioned this, but again, it's worth mentioning again. Mary states, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So the more that's being divulged, the more our Lord and our Lady believe, are confident that we are capable of understanding. So we need to cooperate with that understanding, of their understanding. Sister? Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. You started saying that Adam and Eve had total joy, and we are all called to have this total joy. I was reading a passage today, actually, in the last few days I've been meditating on this passage, that it's from volume 31st, September 18, 1932. And it said, "Blessed daughter, my will encloses everything. Rather, for each creature, it holds its written page on how his story should develop and form his life. And this page was written ab eterno. It was written in the light of our will, such that the life of each creature in time at its beginning, but in our Supreme Being, it had no beginning. And he was loved by us with love without beginning and without end. Now, the whole of creation did not yet exist, and we loved him because he was already within us. We held the great birth of all creatures enclosed within the sanctuary of our divinity." And when I was reading this passage, I was amazed, because God brought each one of us our story, and all our stories are different from each one of us. They're completely different, and they are unique. Like my story, all the details and everything is different from each one of us. And that's so beautiful, because God thought about all of us individually, and he wrote this story from ab eterno. That means from forever, since 1,000 years ago, and he kept it in his, he'd say here in within the sanctuary. Well, actually, in Italian, was the word is used sacrario, that means something sacred. So, all our stories, all our life, were kept in this sacred place that I think it's his heart. So we have been in his heart since always, and he wants us to do all these beautiful things that he wrote in this book, and this is how we get to be happy and joyful, and at last to become saint. But most of the time, Jesus was saying in the same passage later that we do our human will, and when we do our human will, it happens that we delete this sentence, this paragraph that Jesus wrote, God wrote for us. And this is sad because he wants us to be happy like he was, he is happy, and as Adam and Eve was happy. And so we have the recipe to be happy, just to follow the book that he wrote. And I was also thinking about all this generation nowadays, that they want to look alike, all the same, to be all the same, to have all the same body, the same nose, the same lips. And this is so sad because, and in a way also the same story of others, like the same way, the same path. But this is sad because our Father create us individually a different path, a different, but that the same path that goes all in the same direction to him. And then in the same passage, it say also, my daughter, there is a mistaken notion in the base world. They believe that the creature can live as though away from us. What mistake? What mistake? This is so true. We think that we can live without him, especially how the world is going today. We think that we can manage everything. We think that we are able to do everything on our own. But the results are that we can't. And if someone chooses, that is literally impossible, someone chooses to say, I want to do everything on my own, just so you stay away from my life. I mean, God is good enough that he gives us the freedom to do that. But what happened? We are slowly dying, and this death is just a miserable and slow and painful death. This is the end of doing everything on our own.
You made some great points there, sister. The first one I'd like to just touch on briefly would be when you made the correlation between how, you know, the individualistic nature of each and every one of us is that beautiful gift that God's given us. And now, you know, society again wants all to conform, to look alike, like to have, like you said, the same lips, the same history, the same path of getting wherever they got to. And again, this is just another example, I think, of everything that's in the world today. If you look at it, anything that's bad in the world today, you can see a direct attack against God and his creation in everything. In that particular case right there, the uniqueness of each individual, that they want to counter that. No, God, you were wrong. In the life of to all souls, they want to counter. No, not life to all, only to those we want to give life to. So everything is going to be in contrast, and it's all an attack on God. It's not even an attack on us creatures. I mean, minions, creatures are being used by Satan, some knowingly, some unknowingly, but it's all an attack on God. And we know that if we're with God, he can overcome here. And last but not least, you know, what does God want? That's a question many of us asked. And he says that he gives us the answer in volume 35, January 10th, 1938. He says, now, my dear children, do you know what your celestial Father wants from you? He wants to be recognized in you as having his dwelling in you, having his center in you. He wants his paternity back. End quote. He wants to be our Father. Very simple. The gift is simple. God is simple. His request is simple. His desires are simple. We just complicate things. It's simple truths for complicated souls. Well, wouldn't you say so, Sister Jacinta?
Yes, I would. So God is our God is our loving Father. He really wants us to receive this gift of the divine will. And we have so much to be thankful for every single day. Like to just appreciate all these blessings, gifts, and graces Jesus gives us every single day. And also to be so grateful that we're alive in these extraordinary time, in this extraordinary time of history, where we're so blessed and privileged to have the divine will writings in order to receive the gift, in order to make reparation for all souls, past, present, and future. So connecting with what Mother said earlier about acts and rounds, there's this little paragraph of a passage from Volume 23rd, December 30th, 1927, where Jesus tells Louisa about how much pleasure the divinity takes when we do acts in the divine will. So Jesus tells us, if you knew how much pleasure the divinity takes in seeing your littleness rise in the unity of the one divine act that never ceases, to unite your acts within our single act, you to give us your own, and we to give you our own, and to impress in you the character of our single act. You put us in feast, and we feel the happiness, the joy of having created the creation. So in order to be more attentive, you must be convinced that your living in our will is the feast that the creature can bring to her creator. And the more acts you do in it, the more times you renew our joys and our happinesses on your part, and bringing us the whole creation on your lap, you give us the glory and the requital of love for its having been created by us. So earlier today, the sisters were talking about how on Earth you it's so important to like not waste time because on Earth we have this blessed opportunity to do acts and rounds and to acquire new heavenly territory. Because there's another passage, I don't exactly remember where, but Jesus tells Luisa that on Earth the pilgrim is able to acquire new is able to acquire new heavenly territory, whereas in heaven it's finished. You can't acquire new territory. You can't like do like new acts and rounds like you can here on Earth. So that's why the time on Earth here is so precious, and to just continually do those acts and rounds. And Jesus loves our littleness. He just wants us to come onto his lap of the Heavenly Father and just say, Abba, Father, this is all my acts in the divine will. And it's so beautiful too to make reparations in the divine will too. Like say Jesus, I receive communion in a state of grace in the divine will, to make reparation for all souls, past, present, and future, who have not, who are not, and who will never receive communion in a state of grace. And I do this out of love for you. And in those hidden ways, we give God all the honor and glory he deserves that other people fail to give him. And then earlier on in this passage, Jesus tells us, what great difference between the divine and the human character. The human does many acts, many works, but the creature remains always encircled within our acts. It seems that they have no light to extend and diffuse to all. They have no feet to walk. Wherever they are done, there do they remain. So much as a creature might do, her acts are numbered, restricted, and therefore the character of the human operating is so dissimilar from the operating of the divine unity and from one who operates in it, that it is easily erased and remains without seed of fecundity. This is why I want the soul to live in the unity of my will, to make her acquire the divine characters that are indelible and eternal. And Jesus tells us that like light, like for example, like the rays of the sun, they diffuse everywhere. And how in the divine will, how all our acts become divinized because Jesus is doing them in us. And like the sun, they expand, they effuse, they diffuse, they multiply for the good of all generations, because we're not just doing this for ourselves, but for all souls past, present, and future.
You know, Mother, that's probably one of the best lessons, or one of the most important lessons we can learn during these times, is what Sister just mentioned, and what the many souls in purgatory have expressed through mystics, that if they had to do it all over again, if they had any regrets, they would have made better use of their time while still on Earth. That I think is key for each and every one of us, because there's so much, you know, the world tries to take us in every direction, every hour of the day, maybe intentionally for not giving us time for God. You know, look at Sundays and look at every other day that, you know, whenever church time is, there's some major event in the world happening. So I think making the best use of time, I think, is probably one of the greatest strategies we can do in these times.
And I think, you know, if you're trying to live in the divine will, to ask God every moment, what is his will for you at that moment? What is he will for you to do in that moment? If it's a choice that you have to make, if you have to go to work, that's one thing. But, you know, on a Sunday, you know, because God wants you to go to a baseball game or a football game and eliminate mass. And if you honestly ask yourself that, of course, you would know that he wants you to go to mass. Read your scriptures, whatever you think you might need to do on a Sunday. But, you know, it's a day of rest and prayer, a day to spend time with family, but it's not a day to be wasting so much time and working. A lot of people work on Sundays. And Our Lady, when she appeared in La Salette, she said that was what she was, the sin of the day was that they were cursing and working on Sundays. And she said if they didn't stop, that many people would die. Well, that year, the potato crops failed because the people didn't stop cursing and working on Sundays, and thousands of people died of this this potato famine, because of this potato famine. So that was, you know, that was a lesser sin than today. Look at the sins of today, how God is patient with us right now, and he continues to allow the world and the people to exist with all the terrible things going on in the world, you know. So we have to really pray, because it's coming to a climax now, that, you know, God has to do something. And I think, you know, we know that everything is falling apart, and it's part of God's plan to allow it to happen in order to straighten it out, in order to make a better world and a better church. Everything will fall apart, but we have to pray for souls during this hard time, that many souls, more souls will be won rather than lost, because many are getting confused in these days with the things that are happening. So
no, agree, Mother. I think we would have lost, we would have exhausted our patience incredibly a long time ago. Well, you're listening to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in our homes. I'd like to go into the break, Mother and sisters, with a small quote from Volume 35, January 16, 1938. This is Jesus speaking, quote, "It is easier to hear its many calls, calls only for those who live in the divine will, since at the same time, it calls her from within its works. But it also makes itself heard in the depths of the soul, calling from both sides," end quote. So we cannot hear, we cannot not hear. God is calling us internally, externally, all around us. And he says, "I've given you everything." We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the School of Mary and want to take just a brief moment, a very important moment also. I was listening in between programs, and I don't know if it was Father Dan or someone else that came on and said those haunting words, you know, what would happen someday if you tuned in to Radio Maria and all you heard was silence? I mean, that's something we don't want to think about, but that's something that is always within the realm of possibilities. You know, Radio Maria has no commercial advertising. Nobody can influence what Radio Maria does. It's 100% listener supported and entrusted to the divine providence. So the good news is that God knows what we can and cannot do. And he's not asking for those who cannot to give anything financially, but they can give something spiritually. But he is asking for those who can give financially to please be generous if you can. So please, if you may, go to radiomaria.us, click on the donate button, or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. Whether you're listening to this live or in the archives, we're making this offer also for our gifts. We'd like to present two gifts for anyone making a donation today, preferably a monthly reoccurring. And the first gift is a Luisa Picanetta relic prayer card, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. And second is a is an I Am Catholic card. In case of an emergency, please call a priest. And it's about the size of a credit card thickness and to be held in your wallet or your pocketbook. This card will not incur debt, but rather be an asset to you if and when you need it. Something actually nice to give away too as a gift to someone else, perhaps. So again, those are the two incentives, the two gifts that we can give. Please give generously to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in our home, 888-408-0201, or go to radiomaria.us. Thank you very much in advance for all of that. You know, Mother, I went into the break with that about the calls, how it's easier to hear the calls when we're journeying in the divine will. But it doesn't mean we cannot hear the calls if we're not journeying, because God is calling all souls. But this is one that really gets me, and I have to remember this often. It's the beginning of that. He's talking about gifts and graces, which are constantly showered on us. This is what he says, quote, "Now if the soul responds to the call, the gift is confirmed. If she does not respond to the call, the gift remains suspended between heaven and earth," end quote. So how many neglected gifts and graces are there in suspension? I mean, this is a tidal wave, a tsunami of grace that could hit us at any time once we sort of, for lack of a better phrase, break the bank there, just giving glory and honor to God, responding. We can respond with just a simplistic thank you, which the nine lepers didn't give.
Reminds me of Mother Angelica. She told us once, she says she always prayed every day for all the graces that people rejected. She wanted those graces. So you can pray for that. Yes. You know, there are many graces out there to be had. If you just desire them, ask for them, you know, just ask. Don't be afraid to ask for any graces that you want or need, or ones that you know God wants to give you. Just ask that he opens your heart to the grace, that he's sending you graces always. Is your heart open to those graces? That's what you have to pray for the Holy Spirit to send upon you, to keep your heart open to whatever God wants to give you.
Yeah, have some fun with it. Think of all these graces in this one huge pinata. And now God has given us this big baseball bat as the divine will. And we're going to whack that pinata, get all these graces, and not to mention candy as well. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hi, Peter. Today, I'd like to talk about the true love, how the true love forgets himself. This is from volume 5, November 10th, 1903. So Luisa, she asks, how is it possible that one forgets himself when we fill ourselves so much? And like, it can be easily forgotten because it is not separated from us, but it is not far away from us. And this is the response that Jesus gave to Luisa. "My daughter, true love forgets himself and leaves off the interest of the pains and of everything that belongs to the beloved. That is precisely the sacrifice of true love, that while one has himself, he must live of everything that belongs to the beloved. Even more, if he remembers himself, this memory must serve him to become more industrious about how to consume himself for the loved object. And if the beloved sees that the soul gives all of herself to him, he will know well how to repay her by giving her all of himself and letting her live of his divine life. So one who forgets himself completely finds everything. Moreover, it is necessary to see the difference that exists between what one forgets and what one finds. One forgets what is ugly and finds what is beautiful. One forgets nature and finds grace. One forgets passion and finds virtues. One forgets poverty and finds richness. One forgets foolishness and finds wisdom. One forgets the world and finds heaven. So abandon, when we abandon our littleness in order to gain everything, so that means losing is gaining. When we think we lost everything, that's when God pours out his blessings and his love. And true love truly requires a sacrifice, and there's no sacrifice without denying oneself, self-denial. And from the sacrifice and self-denial comes the most pure and perfect love. And the sacrifice consecrates the soul to God, and it renders our body and soul so pure, so holy, and so sacred. We are nothing. We got to recognize our nothingness. But when we deny ourselves and recognize our nothingness and abandon ourselves, all we have, then that's when we can be all, because God accepts it. And the suffering which comes from the sacrifice makes the soul beautiful. And true suffering, he says, is the suffering wanted by God. It is not the one that we think it is good for us or what we want, but it is the one that it is design plan wanted by God. So when we accept everything that is happening in our present moment, it allows us to be united with Jesus' suffering. And divine will, Jesus says that when we suffer in his volition, it allows the soul to rule over justice, over the mercy of God, over man, and over all things. So when we participate in the suffering of Christ, we are also participating in his qualities, in the honors, and in on the works of creation, redemption, and sanctification. So we got to do love alone has to be the motivation of all our actions. So when we resign to the suffering, to the present moment of God's will, and that's when we are calling Jesus to operate in our souls. But when we are restless in suffering or in our sacrifice, then it's like we are binding Jesus' arms, and he's unable to work in us. We are making him wait for us until we become at peace. So let us ask God for grace to love God and our family members, friends, and neighbors as God loves us, to solely make him happy with our purity of intention.
And we know how important intentions are. I don't have time to read that passage, but maybe another time. God flipped the script on intentions. You know, we heard intentions that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. No, intentions are very important. God knows our fragility. He knows how inept we are to do anything well, and he's going to step in and finish as long as we start. Right, Sister Pamela?
Right. I totally agree with everything we have said so far. I want to share from volume 14, March 16, 1922. And it goes back to what Mother was saying in the beginning about how to always trust in God and rely on him on everything, because we are not capable of strengthening ourselves without God. It's just a little bit of the passage. It's a long one, so I'm just going to share a little bit. And Luisa was saying to Jesus, "My love, in these days, the circumstances have been such that I feel distracted.
and he, therefore be attentive, because when what you do does not flow in my will, it happens as if the sun stopped its course, and when you are distracted, you form clouds before the sun and you remain obscure. However, when the distractions are involuntary, a strong and resolute act of your will, to run in my will is enough, to place the sun on its course, and like rapid breeze, to dispel the clouds, in order to make the sun of my will shine more beautifully. So for me, this is really, when I read this, it was really comforting, because sometimes it's like, I don't know, I'm just cleaning or I'm in adoration, and suddenly a thought came into my mind that it has nothing to do with I was praying or contemplating. And I'm like, Jesus, why are you allowing me to think on this if I was not intentionally wanting to think of that? Or when I'm cleaning and sometimes I caught myself thinking on like my past or something that just happened a few minutes ago, and it troubles me inside because I feel like I'm separating myself from God, or like I'm not actually doing acts and routes in the divine will. But this, it confirms into me that it doesn't matter. Like, as long as my intention from the beginning, from the moment that I wake up, is to be always fused to the divine will and to always be in God's heart, he's never going to let me go, because he's going to protect and he's going to be attentive of that divine, of that divinity that he himself fused into us when he breathed over us like Adam. So I would say it would be unfair if God will be like, okay, you just fell for a second, not to think about me. Okay, so you need to redo this ever over again. But now he's so merciful that even though we are not capable, he makes us capable, because it is him in us. And it's just amazing how Mother was saying and how much he loves us, that he is always attentive to whatever we do, even though we get distracted, because he knows our heart. And we shouldn't be harsh. Today in confession, when advice that the priest told me that I appreciated is that don't be so harsh on yourself, because sometimes we are so harsh in ourselves that we forget how loved we are by God, and we lose sight from that. So if you get distracted, if you feel that you're not doing things right, just repose in Our Lady's womb, repose in and the Father's arms, and he will guide you, he will support you, he will carry you along the way. He has never abandoned us, even when people are sinning, God is still with them. God is still holding them in their arms. So he still has us in his heart, in the divinity of God. So we just need to trust in him and have always that in mind, so that we don't lose faith and that we don't lose our confidence that we are always in him and he's always in us.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
It's funny because I had a similar experience in prayer yesterday to Pamela. There was something I was working on, and I just wasn't getting to the end of it, and I just wanted to finish it. And I was in adoration. No, it was after Mass, trying to do Thanksgiving, and I keep thinking about this thing. And I was just like, Lord, help me. Let me put this thing in, like, I didn't say these words, but it was like, basically, let me put this thing in a different compartment right now so I can pray. And then after I leave prayer, I'm going to go back to that little compartment of what I was working on. And then I just felt like the Lord gently just kind of smiling at me, you know, with his gentleness, because I could be hard on myself too. And he's just like, well, why don't you invite me into that thing? And I was just like, oh, it's like, don't compartmentalize me. I want to be part of everything that you do. I mean, yeah, of course, there's moments where things are distractions and you have to kind of push through. But there's sometimes where Jesus is just like, you know, that's part of your life. You know, that's so, because it's part of your life, it's part of my life, because I love you and you're part of me. And I love it because it's something that's important to you. So that was just kind of a fun little, I don't know, it's just like a fun little truth that the Lord gave me. It's like, we don't have to be afraid to invite him into everything. You know, we're so used to compartmentalizing everything. This is my prayer time. This is this time. This is that time. Or it's all his time. You know, that's living in the divine will. I think little by little, just learning to just live in that constant union.
Well, you know, sister, in all fairness, I think that's the way we were sort of taught you know, in the old way, you know, and now it's just, you know, God is like Saint Pope John Paul II says that this is a new and divine way of holiness that God is bringing to the earth, a new way of showing reverence to him. So beautiful.
Yeah. The passage I wanted to read today, or we'll go full circle because Mother was talking about in the beginning of the show, just how important crosses are and the good that the Lord can bring out of them. And that's the passage I chose. It's from volume 35, November 29th, 1937. And basically Jesus talking about the glory of the cross. And he says, "Now whoever unites with my sufferings, heartbeats, breath, steps, and works, praise, speaks, and moans in union with all that I did and suffered on earth. There is no blessing that does not arise from my sufferings. The soul's pains kidnap my pains on earth to involve all souls, both in my pains and in her own, to dispose all souls to receive the life of my divine will. The union with me of her pains with my pains produces the great prodigy of my life in the soul, a life that works, speaks, and suffers as if I were again on earth. So I animate the soul's entire being with the power of my acts. My life flows even in the tiniest trifles so that all may be mine, animated by my creative power, and so that she may give me the love and glory of my own life. My will preserves within its bosom of light all your sufferings, great and small, your distressed and sorrowful sighs, your privations. It even used them as material to be able to conceive, deliver, and grow its life. It could grow through each one of your pains, fed by its sanctity, filled with the ardor of its love, and adorned with its unreachable beauty. My daughter, how much you must thank me for all that I have arranged for you and for all that I have allowed you to suffer. Everything helped to form my life in you, as well as the triumph of my will. What a blessing for the soul, seeing that her pain served my life so wholly, and that my life will find its fulfillment in my divine will throbbing within her." Just a couple of lines came to mind when I read this. One was something Sister Maureen used to say to me, which I loved. "Not a penny is wasted in the divine economy," you know, so even the little trifles the Lord uses for great good. And the second thing that came to mind was something that we recently heard Christopher West say. I think he was quoting somebody else, but basically, like, you know, it's a temptation from the devil when you're offered an option for happiness that does not involve the cross, because that's what the devil tries to do, try to get you to go after and grasp happiness without the cross. And that's just not the Christian way. You know, we were saved through the cross. We were married to our Creator, you know, on the wedding bed of the cross. So it's just such an important part of our journey in the divine will. It's one of the mistakes I made in the beginning of reading the divine will. It was, you know, the Lord promises you all this great happiness, which is true, and this joy of living in the divine will. And unless you have that whole picture, unless you really continue to read on and see how the Lord has purified Luisa through her crosses, through sufferings, through mortifications, I had this false idea, it was my own weakness, of like, okay, if I do these little magical acts and rounds, I mean, I didn't think those words, but I'm going to just be happy all the time. and that wasn't true, because acts and rounds are not magical formulas. They're very, very deep ways of praying, of uniting ourselves with the Lord. You know, the rounds are recognizing God's love and all of creation around us and everything he did in redemption, and receiving that love and returning that love to him. The acts are, I keep going back to, and the two become one. It's a way where his will unites with our will, and the two of us together, animated by his will, just do everything. It's a very deep way to pray. And by doing those acts and rounds, there is joy, but there's also the cross. Because what happens, God loves us so much and he wants to bring us to higher levels of sanctity and union, that in his goodness, he starts to free us more and more, which involves purification and stripping, which is painful. He also makes us more and more into his image. And, you know, he was the suffering man. He was the man of sorrows. That's what I'm looking for. You know, our spouse is a crucified man. So in order to be transformed more and more into his image, we have to learn to suffer as he did, which was basically with pure love. He gave himself over totally for his bride. And he wants to teach us how to love that way, to forget ourselves and give ourselves up totally for him and for others. And that's where the joy comes in, because the cross, our sufferings united with Christ's sufferings, drawing on his grace of redemption, drawing on his strength, on his will, is what teaches us how to love. And the more we really learn how to love authentically as Christ loves, that's where our joy comes from. That's where our happiness comes from.
And sister, really quickly, you mentioned about how deep the rounds are, and it is deep, but remembering also that God is doing the heavy digging.
Yeah.
We just scratch the surface with what we need to do physically, emotionally, and mentally, and God takes it to a whole different dimension.
No, it's so true. It's what do? We really open up, and he's the one that goes in deep.
Yeah. He's got the dig. Yeah. He's got the backhoe.
Yeah, it's all him. Just my last thought. It was a line that, you know, yesterday when I was praying, and the Lord brought me back to when I started to also think about, you know, my past mistakes and how I've wounded others and other people's, you know, the times that they wounded me, and starting to get frustrated. And then the Lord just brought me back to what Joseph said in Egypt. He goes, don't beat yourselves up. What you meant for evil, God meant to use for good. So Matt, whether it's an evil that we've committed in the past, obviously we have to repent for it. If it's an evil that somebody else committed against us, whether it's just an indifferent cross, maybe just like a disease or just something that happened, God always means it for good. It's the path to our glory, and it's the path of living in the divine will.
Amen. Amen. Mother, a few minutes. I think, did all the sisters speak, Sister Francesca? Everyone spoke?
Yeah, right.
Spoken. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mother, we have a few moments left. So you want to just
okay. I was just reading volume 13, September 14th. It says, "My daughter, each time the soul does acts in my will, she grows more and more before me in wisdom, in goodness, in power, and beauty. In fact, as she keeps repeating her acts in my will, she takes more bites of wisdom, of goodness, etc. And the soul grows with the food from which she feeds herself. This is why in the Holy Gospel it is written that I grew in wisdom before God and before men. As God, I could neither grow nor decrease. My growth was just in my humanity, which growing in age came to multiply my acts in the supreme volition. And each additional act I did was additional growth in the wisdom of the Celestial Father. This growth of mine was so true that even creatures noticed it. The same happens to the soul, my daughter. Sanctity in the divine will grows in every instant. The most indifferent things, sleep, food, work, etc., can enter into my will and take their place of honor as agents of my will. If only the soul wants it so, all things, from the greatest to the smallest, can be opportunities to enter my will. So let's not lose a moment. You know, we talked about wasting time a while ago. Every moment is a precious moment. It's gone. It's a gift from God, and it's just here in the moment, and it's gone away the next moment. And we can't bring it back. We can't redo it. So let's try to pray for the grace to receive, to live in the present moment in the right way, the way God wants us to live it. Accept the present moment, whatever it brings to you, and that's the greatest way to live it, to realize that whatever's happening to you in this moment is the will of God for you. Either his permitting or ordaining will, and the will that he wants, you know, that, but just accept it and say, thank you, God, for whatever this suffering is, whatever this moment is bringing. I thank you and I praise you for it. And it's amazing how it doesn't hurt as much. It gets the pain, whatever you may be suffering is weakened when you accept him with the present moment, whatever's happening to you.
That's right, Mother. And, you know, God wants us not to be afraid to do what's good, even if very few avail themselves of it. Because he, again, intentions are so important. He will bring to fruition what we cannot do physically, emotionally, or mentally, or spiritually. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Please be generous with Radio Maria. We don't want to tune in and find silence. Silence is not good on radio. It may be good in my house, but not on radio. Love everyone. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mother, for your vocation. Sisters, love you all tremendously. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye. 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 Mm-hmm.